Hulu is coming in hot this month with new shows, new movies, and all new seasons of your faves. Don't miss FX's Clipped, the story of one NBA team's racial reckoning, starring Lawrence Fishburne. Stream a new season of Shoresy, the underdog hockey comedy that might just knock your teeth out. Then catch the high-speed drama Ferrari, starring Adam Driver and Penelope Cruz. Kick your streaming into high gear this month with so much new stuff to watch on Hulu.
Of WWE Shop with Fanatics. Get all of your latest merchandise from your favorite WWE superstars and wear them proud. So if it's CM Punk, the American Nightmare Cody Rhodes, LA Knight, the Tribal Chief Roman Reigns, or legends like The Rock, Stone Cold Steve Austin, and Bret the Hitman Hart, again, you can get all of your favorite merchandise over at wrestling.thedlupodcast.com. Again, that's wrestling.thedlupodcast.com. TheDLUPodcast.com to get all of your favorite merchandise at WWE Shop with Fanatics.
This podcast is a Believe Network and Luciete production.
Welcome to another edition of the Believe Podcast, brought to you by Believe Network. I'm your host, Derek T. Lewis, and I hope the week is treating you all great. You know, this week is going to be a little different. I decided that I'm going to do a best of episode where you can actually hear some interviews that I've done, you know, in the past. So check that out. The description in this episode of who those guests are, you'll be able to see in the description. So make sure you check that out. Also, not only is the DLU podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Deezer, TuneIn, and many other platforms. But the one platform that was so obvious that I'm just like, duh, why is it not on there? Is YouTube. That's right. Go to my YouTube channel, Derek T. Lewis, or if you look under The Real DT Lou, you can actually go ahead and subscribe and get all of the DLU podcast, including the archives, there as well. So there's another vehicle where you can actually listen to this show. Also, the DLU podcast is on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. So if you just look up the DLU podcast, just hit follow, like, and all that other fun stuff, and you'll be able to see the goings on of what's, you know, what's happening with the show. My own social media, of course, is at The Real DT Lou, with the exception of Facebook, which is Derek T. Lewis official page. My store, shop.derektlewis.com, where you can get hoodies, tees, also long sleeve tees as well, some crew neck sweatshirts, tote bags, and mugs. Make sure you check that out. Also, my wrestling t-shirt store with pro wrestling tees is pwt.derektlewis.com. Well, it's about that time, so the best of episode starts right now. But let's talk about the Bullet Club. So, whose idea was it? How did it all come to be?
It was a spur of the moment thing, right? What had happened was I had 2 years to go to America and you know, try and survive as a wrestler there. Mm-hmm. But was cut short because Finn Balor was, I think he was getting bored. He was getting bored of doing the New Japan scene because he had done everything. He had, you know, been champion, he'd been
right
champion and Super Junior Cup.
Super Junior, right.
He'd done it for years and he was getting bored and he wasn't feeling challenged. And I think he was thinking of leaving the company where... And that's when they came up with the idea of turning him into a heavyweight. But obviously, he was a smaller guy, so they needed some sort of backing, kind of like Shawn Michaels and Diesel kind of thing.
Diesel, right.
Yeah, so they called me and they asked me what I thought. And I said, you know, I wanted to stay an extra year and relax, but... I thought, you know, there's a great opportunity, get back early, make some money. And that's when I started. So when I got back, they put me at his bodyguard.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the first, when I made my return appearance, and the amount of booing, jeez, the New Japan fans had never really experienced a heel turn like that before.
Right.
And the amount of hate and anger directed at the office to get me and Finn Balor and get us fired was real, because the president came to us and said, "Hey, man, the fans want to fire you guys," which is, you know, that's how passionate they were.
Right, you're doing a job, right?
Yeah, and I think the office thought, "Man, we can do something about this if this amount of hate is getting people so ramped up. We got to do something about it." And then, you know, obviously there was only four of us at the company at the moment. And that's when they decided, you know, let's put them together. So it was a spirit of the moment thing.
Wow. And it ultimately, this was basically about a bunch of foreign wrestlers forming a group to take on, you know, the juggernaut that is New Japan Pro Wrestling. It's kind of similar to what the NWO was. And, you know, when you were talking about, you know, fans writing letters or fans, you know, being upset, that sound like when Hogan turned heel in 96 and joined the NWO. When I tell you there, I mean, there were, and mind you, there was no social media back then. You know what I mean? So it was a huge thing when everyone's picking up the phone. "Hey, did you hear Hulk Hogan turned? You know, he's a bad guy." And it's like, and just seeing the heel, just seeing the turn as it happened, I couldn't believe it. I never would have ever thought that Hogan would have turned heel. And just hearing interviews over the years, if it was Eric Bischoff or whoever it is, and they were saying how they were getting letters. You know, people, fans were really writing letters. That just lets you know that it was working. You know what I mean? It was definitely working. Yeah. They're really passionate about the product.
Yeah. That's how it felt.
So at that time, though, 2013, did you foresee Bullet Club becoming a global brand?
Hell no. Hell no, but it was, we knew something was happening, because when they put us together, it just felt so right.
Mm-hmm.
Because we were the only four there, you know, for the last couple of years, you know, we thought, you know, we'll just, because we have fun outside of the ring when we're together, let's just go in the ring and do the same thing. Because, of course, we're big fans of NWO and big fans of the Click and all that kind of thing. So we thought, hey, here's our chance to have fun like those guys when they, you know, were at the top. So, yeah, every time we had matches, we'll just go in there, and pretty much that's why the Too Sweet came back, you know, because right. We're just in there enjoying ourselves, paying tribute to the guys who came before us. And there you go. It just steamrolled from there. You know, because back then, even then, the internet wasn't so big. Twitter has just been around a couple of years. Facebook has been around a couple of years. And, you know, we're still trying to figure out how to use social media.
Mm-hmm.
But, I think New Japan wasn't even in America yet. It wasn't there until maybe 2015, 16. So I think because we were having so much fun, and really the people who knew about the New Japan and followed New Japan would get, I don't know, videos maybe or film or hear it somehow on the internet.
Yeah.
And our goal, because New Japan saw us as just, you know, these dumb foreigners, you know, we went into every match trying to force the company to recognize who we were and that we were worth something. And one of the ways to do that was trying to get out into the world. How do we get out to the world? How do we get ourselves known around the world so the company can understand that there's value in us? And one of the main things we decided was, wherever we go, when we go out drinking, go out eating, we got to go together. At the same time, whatever merchandise we have to wear. So that's why the shirt became a big thing. Right. We started whatever merch they gave us, we'd wear it together, take photos, and put it out on our respective social media. And that's when it started. Just slowly, slowly, slowly. And then because everybody was hearing about, oh, there's this new thing called the Bullet Club. And then, you know, more fans would stop following in. Oh, we heard about this, we heard about that. And it just slowly steamrolled. But it wasn't until when AJ Styles came along, and he had a bigger Twitter follower, right? Mm-hmm. And that's when the new Bullet Club shirt came out, just when he was coming in, and then we all started doing the same thing, wearing those shirts. The Bucks came along, they had their own followers. Luke Gallows came along, had his own followers. And it was just the right people at the right time with the right amount of followers and us doing the same thing, hanging out. Some of these guys don't drink. Some of these guys don't like seafood or whatever, but we made sure we all got together. Whatever merchandise we got, let's take a photo. If it's an AJ shirt, let's all take a photo. If it's a Young Bucks shirt, let's all wear it, take a photo. And then we all put it out on our social medias, and that's how it started. That's when it started to steamroll more because the fans started to be, were able to see what's going on throughout Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram.
You ever go to a wrestling show and it let me know that it was working. When you can see, when you go to any wrestling show, I don't care if it was on the Indies or WWE, if you could see an NWO shirt, Austin 316, and Bullet Club. Like those are the constant shirts that you see a lot. You know what I mean? So that just let me know. I'm like, okay. I said, this thing is really, really getting strong globally. I mean, the fact that people in the United States are caring about another promotion outside of the country, that's huge. That's really, yeah. really huge. So speaking of which, let's take a deep dive on this one. Let's talk about the underboss Rogue General character with you and your role in the Bullet Club and just describe your style. What in your mind was your role in the Bullet Club?
Yeah, so because I was the bodyguard type guy, mm-hmm. you know, my job, you know, and this is real in wrestling. You have to take your character or whatever job you have to take it seriously. Because if you don't, whatever goes around around you is not going to work.
Right.
So if you're given a directive, follow it to the T. Figure out how it's done and follow it. Because if you don't, they'll easily change it. We'll get somebody who can do it. Or you're not going to get popular or whatever. But you got to do it. It's just like being in a movie. If you're given a role in a movie, mm-hmm. you can't break out a character to do something else. You have to do your job. And I think I've survived and become really successful in my company because I've done exactly what they want me to do. So the job of being the bodyguard, I did it. Bodyguards don't talk, right? Bodyguards just do their job, protect, you know, protect the number one guy or mm-hmm. that's it. And I used to be a freaking security guard back in the day and I stayed there, smile or talk, you know, I don't fucking promos and all that shit.
Right.
Yeah, and that was the bodyguard until it got to a point where I thought, you know, it's time to change it up. You know, a lot of the guys had changed. A lot of guys had left. And I thought, you know, I want to change this up. So that's where the Rogue General came along because, you know, I thought, you know, maybe it's time to start talking a little bit, you know, and have a lot more fun because things were changing and sometimes I didn't agree with it. And I thought, you know, if I push back on this kind of stuff, I need a character that's, you know, or I need to change who I am to be able to push back on that kind of stuff. And that's where the Rogue General came. The Rogue meaning, you know, outside of the norms.
Right. Now, let's talk about that early time, you know, Prince Devitt, Finn Balor, you know, Machine Gun, Doc Gallows, AJ Styles, Tama Tonga, Young Bucks, Kenny, Takahashi. that version of the Bullet Club, and obviously there's been so many different versions of the Bullet Club. What is your favorite version of the Bullet Club and why?
I'd say my favorite would be the AJ Styles era. Right, that's my favorite. Second to that would be the first one. The first one, we had so much fun until David left. But the second one was actually when a lot of things in my own career changed, because the one thing that was different between David and Styles, was the difference was David was the leader, right? Mm-hmm. And of course, there was his job. His job was to be the leader of the Bullet Club.
Right.
And it took it to which it was before he left. But when AJ Styles came, you know, he had the same job, but the difference was he came in there and didn't want to be the leader, right? He the first night when he won that bout, when he won that battle of Okada, we were all walking back at the hotels, and he pulled us all aside and he said, "This is not about me. This is all about us."
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. And he never ever said, you know, me. He said, if we're gonna succeed from here, we're gonna succeed together. And while he was there, the short amount of time he was there, everyone's career just catapulted.
This episode of the D-Loop Podcast is brought to you by Goalie Nutrition. As someone who's used Goalie for quite some time, I can tell you that they're not only very good, but they're very beneficial. My favorite are the Super Green Gummies. The Super Green Gummies are uniquely crafted with a spectrum of essential nutrients such as vitamins A, B12, folic acid, and theamine. It supports a healthy liver function, healthy nervous and immune system, digestive health, a boost to your metabolism, and overall health and well-being. There are no artificial sweeteners, flavors, or colors from artificial sources. They're vegan-friendly, gluten-free, and gelatin-free. All loyal listeners of the D-Loop Podcast get a special 10% discount at checkout. Go to goalie.com, use promo code D-L-E-W. That's goalie.com, use promo code D-L-E-W.
Wow, so you mentioned video games, SmackDown versus Raw. So let's talk about your first exposure to pro wrestling. When was it? You know, if you can pinpoint the time when you recognize that squared circle, you know, on your television, what, you know, when was it?
All right. So, you know, this is picture of Stone Cold walking to the ramp. Everyone uses it, and it got like his Titantrons right there in the back, and fans are everywhere. I like, obviously, I'm a lot older, so I don't remember if it's that specific one that I see in my brain, but I'm almost 90% sure it was that picture of that episode of Raw is when I first realized it. Like, now that I'm older, I understand, like, wrestling, you work for the reactions, you do everything. But when I was younger, I was like, I want whatever he has. Like, when he comes out, people go crazy. And that's what made it for me. Like, Stone Cold is my all-time favorite. That you can't tell me nothing wrong about him. You can't tell me nothing about Hulk Hogan, Ric Flair, and these other guys. I'm like, I don't care. Stone Cold Steve Austin, like, hands down, bro.
It's crazy. I can still remember a very young Steve Austin in WCW in 1991 when he won the WCW World Television title from beautiful Bobby Eaton.
Yo, and you know what's so crazy, bro? Like, I remember when I was younger that, like, someone showed me a picture of him with hair. I'm like, that's not Stone Cold. The Stone Cold that, like, I knew growing
bald,
up.
Goatee. Bald.
Yeah, bro. Right. Like, what do you mean he had hair? I couldn't, but, like, it was like anything before him wasn't real. Anything before the bald-headed Texas rattlesnake, everything wasn't real, bro. Until, like, obviously now, like, I got, matter of fact, hold on, I'm gonna show you real quick. I think he's like right.
He's really getting up and showing me some stuff here. He's all committed by Stone Cold, and that's the bottom line.
So I got the Defining Moments one right here, bro.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, bro.
You got the Smoking Skull, the Big Eagle, and the Wingy. Oh, wow. All three titles. Okay.
Yeah, bro. And then I actually have, I don't know where it's at, but I have like the Stunning Steve Austin where he has the, when he was the Hollywood Blondes, I believe it was.
Yeah. Ryan Pillman.
filming. Yes, they got the damn video camera in there and stuff.
He was doing this whole deal. Yeah,
yeah, bro. Yeah,
it was like he was two different people, because I was just watching some WCW stuff on the network the other day, and just watching his progression do this. I was at the Garden for Survivor Series 96 when Bret Hart came back and he chose Steve Austin to be his opponent. And that crowd, it wasn't just pro Bret. A lot of smart fans knew the Steve Austin that was in ECW very, very briefly. And, you know, his WCW run, and he was on his way from that point on. So that's really cool that Steve Austin was your guy that really got you hooked to the business.
100%. And yeah, bro, and it's not even like I kind of give like the disclaimer, like, oh, it's the cliche, but it's like, yo, Stone Cold is that guy, bro. Like, when he came back to Mania a couple years ago, bro, it's like, I was like, yo, like, I felt like a kid, bro. And then I remember the first time I ever seen him in person. It was when they did the Raw, it might have been the 25th anniversary, when it was at Barclays and at the Manhattan
Center. Yeah.
Yeah, bro. So during that day, I'm trying to figure out, all right, who's going to be where? Like, I'm studying. Like, all right, Stone Cold is Stone Cold. They're not going to put him in a venue that's that small. He has to be at Barclays.
Right.
He has to be there. So, like, bro, I'm trying to put shit together, like, and all that type of stuff. And then Miss McMahon's out there, bro. He's talking and talking. I'm like, oh, I've seen this before. I'm like, he's coming. Then, yo, bro, when that glass broke, oh, my God, yo, like, that was amazing. And it was just like, I never thought I'd see him in person. I never thought I'd hear the glass break. I never thought I'd hear any of that stuff. And it was just like, holy shit. Like, you feel me, bro? Like,
yeah, but here's the crazy part about that whole segment. He didn't utter one word.
Bro.
He didn't utter one word.
Came out there, corners, Vince talking and all that. Kick to the gut, bam, got him. Shane, bam, got him. You feel me? Just everybody there. I don't think he was Stephanie there. I don't know.
Bro. I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think she was there.
No, she wasn't.
If it was like 15 years ago, she would have got it too.
100%. 100%. So let's steer a little bit to music. Yeah. So again, we pinpointed when you started, you know, obviously the wrestler that you idolized, the first one you saw and recognized that got you hooked. Which artist was it that got you hooked to music?
So it's a mixed bag. So like being real, bro, like, being a rapper and being a black male, it kind of has sometimes a negative connotation to it because of, we see, like, how oftentimes it's portrayed for the most part.
For sure, yeah.
You don't see the pop, like, it's art, bro. It's art. And I think what drew me towards it was the fact that wrestling's art, and wrestling has taught me about expression and
right.
The same way. So I grew up listening to rap. So like 50 Cent was my favorite rapper.
Okay.
Like, 50 Cent, I remember when, I think it was Wankster came out and everything, like, boom, he had me hooked. 50 Cent, I like Eminem. I like Jay-Z. Wasn't really too big of a Jay-Z fan, but yeah. Jay, like, it's Jay-Z. Like, you can't hate on him. As I got older, J. Cole, through high school, Future, you know, everybody, like the typical names, Drake, everyone, you know.
Right.
One of my boys started rapping on Kingsbridge. His name is Joe Kane.
Okay.
And I'm a really big supporter of anyone that chases their dreams, bro.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, he was rapping, bro. And it was like, I'd go to all his shows as best as I could. I'd listen to his music before it was released. During the pandemic, bro, all I listened to was his music. And then I remember talking to him one day. He was like, yo, bro, he's like, I think we got to like figure something out for you. I'm like, what you mean? He's like, yo, I feel like, when you come back from this pandemic, you got to be something different. I'm like, okay. It was like, he just said it randomly. I was like, all right, cool. You know, I'll take in consideration. And then right before that, Pop Smoke. Like, Pop Smoke did it for me, man. Like, for real. Like, bro, I'll never forget. I was coming home the night. So my dream, bro, was to have Pop Smoke perform for me at WrestleMania. Biggest dream. Like I wanted him to perform for me at WrestleMania, perform a song, something like that, and like it was gonna happen. I was gonna make it happen. Like, When I believe something, I put my mind to it, bro, it's going to
manifest happen. And happen, right,
baby? No, for sure, bro, for sure. And then I remember I was coming home one time, late night, because I was staying with Shayla during the pandemic. I'm rapping one of his songs, like, you know, the people that be mad loud in the middle of the street. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I'm gonna do it. Ain't no one out here. It's like 12:30. I'm just rapping, singing, you know, so just having a good time, bro. Just mm-hmm. you feel me, just feeling it. And then my boy hit me up, woke up the next morning, said, rapper Pop Smoke dead. I said, what? What, like, literally, bro, the night before I was just jamming to his songs and shit, bro. And it's just like, I couldn't believe it. Like, that hurt me. And I didn't understand why it hurt me so hard until, like, it was just that connection, bro. Like, he's mm-hmm. a performer. I watched a lot of his stuff during the pandemic, bro. A lot of his stuff. And it's like, mm-hmm. every time he did something, he's smiling. He loved life. Right. The time he was doing everything, bro. And I was like, I want to be that happy with what I do. And then I was like, all right. Maybe I should do music. And plus, I didn't like WWE's theme songs at the time. I thought they were all trash. I'm like, you know, I'm gonna make my own song too.
Right.
So I'm like, you know, whatever. Let me tap into this. So one of my boys, he's actually very well known in the music industry. Went to high school together. He actually dropped out, started making beats, and that man is rich. Like, he is well off. Like, I'm very happy to know him. His producer name is Corey. Like, he's sold his music to Power. Like, a lot of his music been on Power for NBA 2K tried to sign him to a deal, and he's like, nah, bro, I make more money on my own. Like, he's to that point where he could deny stuff like that, bro.
Knows his worth. Absolutely.
Yeah, bro. He works with Chief Keef. He's worked with Dave East, like tons and tons of names, bro. And like all of my beats that I have are industry level beats, and he just gives them to me. Like he's the type of friend where he supports it. Like I'll never ask him for money. I'm not that type of friend.
Right.
But bro, he's giving me thousands of dollars in the form of beats, and it's up to me what happens with them. And I've been able to make numerous records. I've been able to have fun with it. Been able to make my own theme song twice over. And so that's really what it was. Pop Smoke, King Von too. King Von was a storyteller, bro. Like, granted, he was out in the streets wilding and doing stuff, bro. But he's a storyteller, and that's wrestling. So all this stuff ended up coming back to wrestling. So you look at Jay Bougie is a mixture of how Shayla is, because Shayla, she's an amazing person, but if she has an attitude, if you get her a little upset, you know, it's Shayla, it's Pop Smoke, it's Parsa King Von, bro, it's me in my everyday regular life, it's my friends, it's my producer. Like, I take bits and pieces from everyone that's around me and how I am in my real life, everyday life. I just put in a one, and that's Jay Bougie, bro.
Wow, that's incredible. And I know you, like I said, we talked about when you started taking your music seriously and everything is starting to record. Let's take a backtrack even further. When did you start training to wrestle? I do see where you trained with the WWE Hall of Famer Johnny Rods.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Let's talk about that for a second. As far as when did you transition? They realize, all right, it's time for me to live this dream and let's making it happen.
So that really happened because it goes back to when I was in college. So, but even before that, I've had a lot of good jobs, bro, where, like, I've worked for Nike, I've worked for the Jordan brand, I've worked for Foot Locker, I've worked in mad places. And, like, during those places, bro, I used to always be like, yo, I'm going to be a wrestler one day. Mm-hmm. Not really saying it, like, believing it, but more so seeing if other people believed it. You feel me? Because it's something so different. Like, you don't...
Right.
No one says they're going to be a professional wrestler, especially in urban communities as well, bro. And, like, there's no way of knowing how to get started.
How to get started, yeah.
Yeah.
Very true.
I used to say it, and then my friends be like, you know what, bro? Like, nah, like, I dead believe you. I was like, oh, okay. All right. So I was just like in the back of my head, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, anything wrestling related, yo, John, what's up? What happened here? What happened there? Like, all that type of things. And then, so I went away to college. I went to Dowling College. It's out in Long Island, in Oakdale. Okay. I didn't want to be here because my college went bankrupt. Now, my college was so trash, bro. Like, there was nothing to do out there, like, at all, unless you had a car. And my roommate had a car, but he had a girlfriend, and he was on the baseball team. So I was in my room playing, like, NBA 2K15 all the time, not doing nothing. Mm-hmm. So I tried to play the basketball team, and the coach, he was honest with me. Like, listen, you're an HEOP student. If I put you on the team now, we have a bunch of seniors not going to play. You have an extra fifth year due to your financial aid and everything. Come back next year, and we'll make it happen. Now, this is essentially me about to become a walk-on D2 athlete. Now, I only played junior varsity basketball in high school. They didn't play varsity when I was in high school. I started working and everything like that. But for me, it was like, oh, like I'm about to be a walk-on. It's hard being a walk-on, especially especially for a Division II school.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy. And it was just like that kind of gave me a sense of happiness with basketball, just because there was a lot of politics in high school. Like
big time.
For like everyone that's listening to this too, like your life isn't over at 18. It's just beginning. You don't need a D1 school when you're 18, D2, D3. Like everyone has their own path. Make your own definition of success. Like don't send nobody. If you believe in yourself, you know you want to do it, go ahead, do it. But going back to the point, so I was sitting in my room one day in my dorm, and I'm like, all right, either I'm going to take basketball really seriously, or I'm going to try this wrestling thing. So I'm sitting down, and I Googled NBA D-League tryouts for the Knicks, the Nets, Philly, and I might have looked at Chicago for whatever reason, just because it popped up. But that's now I know how far Chicago is. I didn't know how far it was before, but I did all that. And then I looked up wrestling schools. So WW came up with Johnny Rods, and then Hog, House of Glory, came up.
Right.
The selling point for me was WWE Hall of Famer. Now, this isn't a knock to anyone else or anything like that, but all I knew growing up was WWE. I didn't know about an Impact, a Ring of Honor, a New Japan, NWA. I didn't know none of that, bro. Like,
for
that
sure, was no, I get it.
Foreign to me. So I just knew WWE, and I said, all right, cool, bro. I'm going to the guy who's been in WWE. This is a direct pipeline, at least I thought it would be. And that's pretty much how it started, bro. I went to college, went bankrupt, transferred out, went to Mercy. Financial aid got messed up. And I said, yo, I'm just going to bet on myself. So I gave myself 4 years how I would do in college. And within those 4 years, like, it popped. Like, I was the first dual champion there. So, like, having two belts is nothing new to me. This is probably my third time or fourth time in my career I've done this. I was the first ever, like I said, North American and light heavyweight champion. I was light heavyweight champion for like 3 years, carried both belts for about 8 months. Like, I was doing all these type of things very early in my career, bro, like super, super early, and just on like a trainee level. Because Johnny is very old school, bro. Like, he doesn't let you don't have a character. You don't have nothing. You just go out there and you just wrestle, like straight wrestle, bro.
Or just the bare fundamentals?
Bro, pure fundamentals. Like, you might get one high spot you're allowed to do. And that just might be, like, a suplex, bro. You might be able to dive off the top rope, but the ceiling is so low that you can't really do anything. So it's, like, it forced you to know how to work, which is, like, now, if you watch my stuff, bro, or anyone watches my stuff, like, I don't do a lot of crazy things, like... It's just like that just wasn't how I was taught. And plus, like, these ropes and rings aren't that great in the indies. Like, it's not all that perfect to be going out there tripping and stuff. And it's like, you want to save a lot. You want to preserve your body. So it's all about storytelling, bro, and character work. Like, when I was at Johnny's, bro, I was called Little John, bro. Everybody was Little Something, Kid Something, like all that type of stuff. So it was pure bare bones. And that's pretty much how I got started, man.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
Hulu is coming in hot this month with new shows, new movies, and all new seasons of your faves. Don't miss FX's Clipped, the story of one NBA team's racial reckoning, starring Lawrence Fishburne. Stream a new season of Shoresy, the underdog hockey comedy that might just knock your teeth out. Then catch the high-speed drama Ferrari, starring Adam Driver and Penelope Cruz. kick your streaming into high gear this month with so much new stuff to watch on Hulu.
This podcast is sponsored by Monarch.
Lifesaver.
Game changer.
The best thing to ever happen to my finances.
The people have spoken. Monarch makes personal financing a breeze.
Monarch is an intuitive, powerful, collaborative finance app that can help you save, budget, and keep your financial life in shape.
With Monarch, I can see my account balances, transactions, and investments in one place, so I always know what's going on with my money.
Whether you're saving for your first home, thinking about starting a family, your own business, or planning for retirement, Monarch is here for you every step of the way.
Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Monarch and manage your finances more effectively. See what thousands of people are saying about Monarch, the app Wall Street Journal voted the best budgeting app of 2024. Collaborate with your partner or financial advisor at no additional cost. Get a 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/podcast. That's monarchmoney.com/podcast for your free trial. monarchmoney.com/podcast.
So on that note, what have been some of the ups and downs you've experienced throughout your career?
Man, outside of the haters, and I got two cold haters too. Both of my baby mamas is haters.
You know, oh boy.
Haters, bona fide haters. You know what I'm saying? For real, for real. But outside of that, I would say there's a lot of people that got bad work ethic. Mm-hmm. You know, of course, with me, I still have an athletic mentality. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Hard work be talent. Talent will be hard work.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of individuals who feel that they can talk their way into a situation, into a feature, if you will, or whatever case, you know. Mm-hmm. And that may work for some individuals, you know what I mean? But I've noticed that even some artists that I've done tracks with, like, they work at the game all the way there, you feel me? It may get there one day, but it ain't all the way there, and it's evident, you know what I mean? You look in their discography, and, like, there's a high chance they top song is probably a song that they did with me, you know? But then there's a high chance you may see that only me and my camp endure the people that I rock with or the people that's promoting it. It's the strangest thing, you feel me? It's really strange, you know? They don't understand, like, you know, you got to be clicking on all cylinders, you feel me? You know, you often hear that in the sports world.
Right.
Clicking on all cylinders. It ain't just about going to go record a song, you feel me? Promotion and cross-promotion is big, you know what I mean? It's
important.
So big. It's very big, you know what I mean? It's so big. In an industry as big as it is, it's mm-hmm. also so small. You know what I mean?
Oh,
it's
also so small. 100%.
So, you know, word get around. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Word get around. Indoor, people can just sit back and just watch. They'd be like, well, wait a minute. You know, if this person is doing A, B, and C, mm-hmm. how come this person ain't doing A, B, and C? And, you know, they also did something together. You know what I mean? It's,
right.
You know, it's weird. But, you know, it comes with it. You feel me? I knew that when I jumped in it, I was going to make a lot of people uncomfortable, you know. But I also know that, you know, if they go ahead and get out their feelings, you feel me, they can grow. You know what I mean? They can grow.
Now, when you say uncomfortable, are you talking about lyrical content or just the whole aura of the fact that you're now a recording artist versus what? Okay.
Everything. Yeah, you know I mean, I'm definitely a firm believer. I told somebody this the other day. Number one, you know that people want to see you do good, but they don't want to see you do better than them. You feel me? That's a known fact.
That's the answer. Very true.
And a lot of people can't understand when somebody new jump in their field and then start running laps around them. Mm. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
You take somebody who happened to be, let's just hypothetically, they've been, you know, in the industry for, I don't know, 10 years.
Right.
You know? And there are certain accolades that they've never reached.
True.
And then, you know, you get somebody who, fresh off the streets or, you know, fresh off their car, you know what I mean?
Right.
And they jump in it, and not only do they jump in it, you feel me, they're excelling in it. You feel me? And they running laps, and they can teach you a few things. A lot of people can't deal with that. I mean, it's really a tough pill to swallow.
I mean, you can also point that to the athletic world, because guess what? If you're starting running back or whatever, and all of a sudden they draft, you know, they got obviously let's say the team you're on, they got the number one overall mm-hmm. pick, and they're drafting a stud running back from Alabama. Now you have that kid that you're ultimately competing against, and he may take your job.
Right.
So I think, you know, it all goes back to athletics, as we were talking about earlier, you know what
yeah,
I'm saying?
You so, gotta have that, you know, that nice little dog mentality, from, you know, Deion used to say, you gotta be a dog, man. You gotta be a dog.
Absolutely. So let's take it back a little bit and talk about your team. Talk about, you know, who you have around you from production's perspective and who's handling, you know, all of your everything. Break it down as far as the people that you have around that's really making Mobbin 101 who he is.
Man, let's start off with Mobbin 101, you know what I mean? Because I do a lot of different things, man. You feel me? I am very hands-on with everything, you feel me, from the beginning. Of course, unfortunately and fortunately, from the beginning till now, it's been a lot of new faces, you feel me, for a lot of different reasons. Certain people just wasn't built for it, you know what I mean? They thought that they was, you know what I mean? They thought that they was going to be able to pull a move. I'm on that. I'm on everything moving. You feel me? Ain't nothing going on. Right. There's certain individuals that feel like the past was going to dictate the present. This was tripping. I don't even know if I can say that. Pardon me. But yeah, I was tripping for Shelly. You feel me? And yeah, I would say from a production standpoint, shout out to that boy Linked Up, you feel me? I just linked up with Linked Up. You're talking about one of the hottest producers up out of Oakland, you feel me? He got credits with Kehlani, Sada Baby, Kamaya, you know what I mean? Da Boy, you feel me? Obviously, you know, Mobbin 101 soon, you feel me? So, you know, he on fire. That boy, that's Frego, you feel me? Frego actually produced my joint Who and Circles, you feel me? You know, Circles going crazy right now, you know what I mean? Shout out Jasmine Sullivan for Sholi, you know what I mean? That boy Hokati Y up out of Lithuania, you feel me? He filthy with it. He filthy with it for surely. DJ Idea did that 2 p.m. in Tulum for me, you dig? That's the joint that took me over 100K. So that was my first solo joint, you know what I'm saying? Okay. I jumped in it with a feature.
Mm-hmm.
And then 2 p.m. in Tulum was my first solo joint, you know what I mean? So, you know, we've been mobbing ever since then.
Okay, that was going to be my next question as far as what's the one record that if anybody that never heard of Mobbin and they're looking on Apple Music, Spotify, or Tidal, and they find Mobbin. I was going to ask you, what was that one record you want them to pay attention to as far as getting to an introduction to who you are?
Oh, man. They can play 2 p.m. in Tulum, you know what I mean? But, you know, right now I would say probably Who or Circles. Yep, either one of those, Who or Circles for sure, you know what I mean? How We Ride, too. I mean, it's so many. I can't even get all into it. But if I just got to pick one, red pill, blue pill, we're going to go ahead and go with Circles.
Okay. Now, where does your music fit into the realm of hip-hop today?
Oh, man. You know what I mean? It's definitely, I'm definitely going to teach you something. You feel me? Mm-hmm. That's one of the biggest things that I feel that as artists we have to do, especially given the platform that we have. First and foremost, again, everybody can't do it. You know what I'm saying? We all got gifts. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you need to be teaching. You know what I mean? It's kind of like when I told somebody the other day, you know, certain cats, you know, they got certain OGs or big homies, you feel me? And they lead them in the wrong direction. You feel me? Cats are suckers, real talk. You feel me? You're not a real G. You feel me? If you're leading the youth down the wrong path, you know what I'm talking about?
Right.
You teach them something. You know what I'm talking about? So I would say it's definitely up there. I'm definitely one of them individuals, you, again, the rawness, the grit, you know what I'm saying? It ain't going to be no perpetrating, you know what I'm saying? You know, there may be some individuals who may sit and wonder this, that, and the third, you feel me? And that's a beautiful thing because, you know, like Socrates said, I can't force you to do nothing. I can only make you think, you feel me?
Right.
So you don't have to like me, you feel me? But you definitely will respect this mob shit, you feel me? You will respect this grind, you understand me? And, of course, if you're getting reach, I teach.
That's an MJ line, man. And for those that don't know that line, just do me a favor. Just Google Michael Jordan. You reach, I teach, and that's all. And that's all we're gonna say about that. If you know, you know. So. Now, what gives you inspiration when writing music?
Number one, the want to, you know. Just the desire to want to be great, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? To want to be global, mm-hmm. you know, to want to be a mogul, mm-hmm. you know, to want to be a household name. Outside of that, it definitely often depends on my mood, you know. It really depends on my mood. Unfortunately, you know, I am human. I'm not perfect, you feel me? I strive to be perfect, but there's days, weeks, if it, I may have writer's block, and then something may happen, and it may trigger something, and then it's just, oh, I'm on one, you feel me? I'm on a tear.
It's yes.
It'd be cool.
I've gone through that too, man. I mean, we're in two different genres, obviously, but I think the approach is the same. You know, writer's block can happen to anybody. Mm-hmm. And man, it could just be one thing. I could just be getting ready to go to bed and I could just, and it's happened.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, ooh.
Yeah, gotta go lay it down. I woke up out of sleep. Like, oh yeah, I got a hot phone real quick.
Right. Exactly, man. And thank goodness we have these devices, you know, smartphones where we can easily go to our notes app. We can just either go to a voice memo and sing it, or you, in your case, you know, you can, you know, rap your lyrics.
Right.
But just being able to have these tools now is insane. It's incredible. And it makes me think, like, back in the day when I grew up in the 80s,
right,
you know, when Run DMC, LL Cool J, Kumo D, MC Shan, you know what I mean? The list goes on and on. I'm just thinking, like, those guys were just in a league by themselves. And I'm just thinking, like, damn, like, it's man. And they did it without this stuff, you know? So it's incredible. Definitely incredible to think about. Now, on that note, I know you said that you mentioned some influences about the past, but who were some of your influences of rappers today?
I mean, of course, you know, again, you know what I mean? Rest in peace, Nit, you understand me? Rest in peace, that boy Takeoff, too, man. You
know, oh, man.
You understand me? Quavo, Honcho, Offset, the whole QC, you feel me? Condolences, man, for real, for real. North Atlanta, condolences, man, you feel me? The industry, condolences, man. We lost a real one, you understand me?
Unproblematic. He was probably one of the most unproblematic people.
We lost a real one, man, and that shit right there ain't cool. And I hope real soon everything, you know, everybody who need to answer, go ahead and answer for that, because that shit right there ain't cool, man. No stripes. No stripes whatsoever.
Right. Now, in what ways do you think that the hip-hop genre has evolved over the years?
That's a good question. I probably would say that it's definitely just opened up more. You know, I often tell people, you often will hear me, I'm quoted before, music's like alcohol. Somebody gonna drink it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a matter of what type of bartender are you. What are you pouring at?
That's a good way to think about it, because, you know, now are you looking at, let's break it down into sub questions now. From a lyrical perspective, talk about the evolution.
It's different. It's definitely different. You know what I mean? You got some right now. It's a trip. Because, like, you listen to the radio, and I feel like it's a lot of songs where it's, like, damn near all ad-libs. You know what I mean? It's, like, no real bars for real.
Mm-hmm.
Like for real, in my opinion, you know? But I also know that somebody like that, and or, you know, they had the strength and or the budget to go ahead and push that. Therefore, you know, people began to like it. You know what I mean? It just became a hot thing. You know, versus, you know, back then, you know, coming up, it was a lot more storytelling,
mm-hmm.
You know, definitely was more storytelling, you know what I mean, especially in my era, you know what I mean, like coming from the Bay, it was a lot more storytelling, you know, shout out Fody, the art of storytelling.
Ooh. Yeah, so talk about now, you know, now that you're definitely making waves in music, how has it been, you know, in the Bay Area? For Mobbin 101, how has it been for you overall as far as how you've been received, as far as really being a representative of the Bay Area? How's it been? How's that been so far for you?
It's definitely been well, you know. It's definitely been well. Like any new thing, you know, practice makes perfect. You know, you got a lot of individuals. I can tell that they know that I'm a threat. You know what I mean? So they are moving in particular ways. You know what I mean? And it's all good. But, yeah, it's definitely been well, you know. They understand that this mob shit is real, surely.
Cool. Now, let's talk about some places you've been where you've actually performed, and whether it's around the world, around the country or around the world. Let's highlight some of those places you've been and talk about some of those experiences and where hip-hop and music has taken you.
Oh, man. Shout out Detroit. I mean, Canada. Shout out Canada for sure. They're showing love. We actually headed back out there next month. We got New York next week. Obviously, man, L.A., Oakland, Texas, Dallas. Shout out Dallas. You feel me? Dallas did right. You understand me? Tony Neal, Shay 45, what's happening? DJ Love. Man. Arizona. You know what I mean? DJ I. You feel me? All the core DJs out there. You feel me? For surely. Icon Radio. Go ahead and tap in, man. Go stream everything. Run it up, man. I didn't perform in Hawaii. I had an appearance, though, you know what I'm saying? But Hawaii showed love, you know what I mean? Yeah, so, you know, it's definitely been moving. It's definitely been moving.
That's incredible. You did it, like you said, that you did a, just an appearance in Hawaii.
Yeah.
Wow, so...
yeah, I was out there promoting, you feel me? I was out there promoting a joint mm-hmm. called Spin the Block, you understand me? Featuring Shield Mac and AP9 of the Mob Figures, you understand me?
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I had went ahead and slid through a joint. I can't even think of the name right at the top of my head, but it's definitely a hot joint out there. It's one of them things, like, you know, everybody in Hawaii, y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all know exactly what I'm talking about, too. It's a little small, little area, too, at least from the outside, but when you get in, you feel me, that thing is popping.
So let's talk about short-term and long-term goals. So, like, right now in the interim, what are some what's the short-term goal for Mobbin 101? And the second half of that is, what is the long-term goal for Mobbin 101?
Man, I need to drop some more visuals, man. For real. There's so many people on my line about that. You understand me? Management was always on my line about it. Fans, even some of my peers, they're like, bro, you need some more visuals. So I definitely need to drop some more visuals. I need to drop a couple more projects. Not so much just singles, but I need to go ahead and push out a couple little EPs and whatnot. Often people are asking me, they're like, when are we going to get an album from you? I really don't want no album yet, you feel me? Because I don't want no sales history against me, you understand me? A lot of people don't know nothing about that, you feel me? Again, rest in peace, Nip, you feel me? He had a lot of gems for us. So, you know, I'm just really waiting on the right situation, you know, with me being the CEO of Exotic Mind Music as well as being an artist, you know. Not only am I focused on me, I'm focused on the other artists, you know what I mean? So somebody gonna pop, you feel me? Somebody gonna pop.
So on that note, let's talk about some of the artists that you that's currently under your label right now. Mm-hmm. Talk about some of them and some of the positives that you that you've seen. You know, obviously you're managing them and everything. Just talk about a couple of them.
Oh man, you got Young Osama out there in Cleveland, you feel me? EP out right now, loads going crazy. You feel me? Free that boy, Mayor Sosa. He on the joints. Definitely gritty. You feel me? The beast of the city. You feel me? Going crazy. You know what I mean? Definitely slept on. You know what I mean? But, you know, Z1079, Micah Dixon. You know what I mean? All that. Cleveland. Midwest. Young Osama. Period. Hands down. You know what I mean? We're going to go ahead and go east with it. You got an Os Guido out there in New Jersey. Now, what's unique about Os Guido is that he's getting ready to create his own label, you know what I mean? So we more so partners now instead of him being up under me. But we're going to go ahead and jump on a couple tracks, you feel me? We got a joint called Lord Please. Mm-hmm. That's set to drop next year, you feel me? That shit going to be hot. It may even drop for New Year's. Who knows, you feel me? You got Outer States, you feel me? Outer States go crazy, you know what I mean? I'm featured on her joint, Smooth, you feel me? It's on her EP, Won't Do. She actually just dropped a joint today, you know what I mean? It's called Ain't What It Is, or no, actually Ain't What It Was, pardon me. And, you know, y'all go ahead and go stream that, you feel me? She on fire right now, you feel me? Recently was mentioned in 24 Hip Hop, you understand me? So, you know, she definitely up on the rise. You got C3X up out of Stockton, you know what I mean? She the first verse on that Ladies Night. Y'all need to go ahead and go type in Mobba 101. Ladies Night, man. You feel me? Shout out Lil' Kim, you know, the brat.
Almost I mean, definitely. Lisa, oh, yeah.
You feel me? That Ladies Night going crazy, man. You feel me? All the ladies in the world. Mobba 101, Ladies Night. Hands down. You feel me? Hands down. Glorilla, I love you, you feel me? Get your flowers. But my Ladies Night will blow the water.
Period. So, and you shed light on it just a little bit when you talk about, you know, as far as your label and Narsil partnering with another. Are you finding now more than ever that everyone is kind of controlling their own narrative and doing it themselves versus going with a label? Because I'm obviously, you know, the goal for a lot of people is to get signed by a label.
Right.
But having met you and we've talked in the past and artists that we know, especially with radio pushes, a lot of people have been finding success on the independent level. Now, obviously, you have to work a lot harder as an independent artist. Sometimes you have to be your own social media manager. You have to be your own everything. There's a lot of things that falls on you.
Mm-hmm.
Are you finding it that's the way the industry is going, or do you think that's just temporary right now?
I know that a lot of people want to do it. You know, and, you know, obviously, you know, for a nice consultation fee, I can go ahead and help a couple of y'all. But a lot of people want to do it. A lot of people obviously still are, you know, caught up like, you know, I want to be signed. I want to be signed. There's nothing wrong with it. You feel me?
Right.
Everybody, you know, it's about what's important to you. You feel me? That's it. What's important to you?
Yeah. But I just feel as though, and I mean, just me from my perspective, I'm finding more freedom and to be able to do things on my own. But granted, when you do have a machine behind you, it does make it a little bit easier. That's why I wanted to hear from you as far as the pros and cons, because again, a lot of times, as much as people want to get signed, there's a lot of people, and you said it, you know, your areas for being the independent hustle and things of that nature. Sure. You know what I mean?
Because like, you can easily be signed. A lot of people don't notice you, for me, in almost any, you know, field or entity. When there's a commodity, therefore there's a quota. You know what I mean?
For sure, for sure.
You could easily be signed just to be shelved. You know what I mean? And depending on if you actually read the contract, which is the biggest thing in the industry, ladies and gentlemen, read your contracts. You'll end up in a situation, man, and you'd be like, oh yeah, well, you know, I was signed and, you know, I got a chain and, you know, we popped a bottle and nobody never heard a song. You feel me? But you looked good on gram though. You feel me? You did it for the gram, baby. Yeah, I see it. So, you know, it's really unfortunate, but again, you know, it happens. You feel me? It does happen. So I will say that with the independent game, you know, obviously you don't got to worry about that. You don't got to worry about if somebody's going to own your masters. Clearly you own your masters. You know?
Right.
You know, a lot of people don't know that. You feel me? That's the gem right there. If you're worried about owning your masters, you go indie. You feel me? If you want somebody to push you, such as the budget, the label, A, B, and C, then you got to be ready, you know, to deal with all the ramifications and parameters that, you know, entails in that.
Even from the creative standpoint, because then you may have a hot record that you and your camp might think, yo, this thing is going to blow.
Mm-hmm.
But the suits might think otherwise. It's right. Like, well, no, we want this.
Right. And you got to go do that.
And per your contract, you have to, mm-hmm. you have to do that. And that's where I think where some people may not be happy. And yeah. When once they're signed, because it's like you're losing that creative edge, and thus you're kind of regressing a little bit because the hunger's not there anymore because they're sucking the creative out of you.
Right.
That's and
you don't want that. You know what I'm saying? It's so funny as you just said that. I'm gonna run that particular statement over by somebody later on. Yeah, you're right. You definitely don't want that.
Well, where can everybody find you on social media, website, you know, YouTube, etc.? Run everything down where people can find you and everywhere.
I mean, well, of course, you know, y'all can go ahead and type me in Google, man. Mobbin101, MOBBIN101. You can type that in anywhere, in your Instagram, YouTube, everything. You feel me? Twitter. I got an underscore at the end, so it's MOBBIN101 underscore. All platforms, man, everywhere. Deezer, Pandora, Tidal, Spotify, iHeartRadio, everything. You feel me? Run it up. Mobbin101, Mobbin Most Hated number 2. You feel me? It's there, man. Type in with me, man. You know what I mean? I get at you.
All right, man. Well, again, it's been a pleasure to have you on the D-Loop podcast, and I'm sure at some point we'll definitely be talking again, and hopefully we can definitely link up soon. All right, man?
Yeah, definitely. For sure. Shout out my kids, man. Diamond and Gianni. You know, daddy love you. You understand me? And shout out the whole mob, man. ExoticMobMusicLLC.com. You dig?
All right, man. Take care, bro.
Appreciate you.
All right, good.
NetCredit is here to say yes, because you're more than a credit score. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partners. NetCredit. Credit to the people.